Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning. I'm sure glad to be here with my wife, Carol, and my son, Ethan. I'm Tommy Ledford. Just glad to be back on the air this morning. And I just really want to tell these listeners everywhere that they listen that I really appreciate you tuning in each week. And yes, hope you're praying for us. Amen. And anyway, I don't think I heard you in your mic.
I said yes, amen.
Okay. Hopefully that y'all are hearing us good, but I'm sure glad to have them here with us this morning. Happy to be here. And I'll tell you what, this is some beautiful weather to me. I love this weather. I mean, I know some folks don't like cold weather, but it's just cool and nice. And this is a really nice change from a warm summer we've had. I love it. I love this time of year.
Yes.
It's good, you know, kind of like the springtime and all. And it's a beautiful time. I would be glad to be in the mountains too.
Amen.
I just love that. But, anyhow. We have a scripture that we want to read today, and we're going to speak from it today. And I got my little buddy going to read for us this morning. Well, before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I sure thank you. God, I thank you for this ability, Lord, this time, God, for us to be able to share the word with others out there on the air and those that tune in. God, I just ask that you just bless each and every soul, God, that's tuned in this morning, that they might get something that they need, that you would just help us all to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding of your word, God. Just please help us be with us today. And Lord, don't let them be forgetful hearers, but doers. God of the word. Lord, I thank you for it all. I give you praise, honor, and glory for it all. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through verse 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we was talking about this in the car on the way to the radio station this morning, you know, about letting your light so shine. And, you know, sometimes when we let our light shine, it's not accepted well with other folks. You know, a lot of times it helps. And I've seen people, you know, you just be a light to folks, and it brighten other folks up too, you know.
Right.
But sometimes it doesn't do that. Sometimes it has an opposite effect, but it, nevertheless, he said, let your light so shine. And we need to let our light so shine that they do see our good works and glorify our Father, which in heaven. But I think about how that people want to be accepted of everybody else, mm-hmm. and they'll actually change the person that they are to be accepted by somebody else.
Right.
And we don't need to do that. You know, as he said, if salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? But it is therefore no good but to be cast out and to be trod under men's feet. If salt, you know, I think about the salted earth, and we are the salted earth. That's what we should be. Salt is a preservative. Not only will it's a flavor enhancer, amen, but it's a preservative. And I, you know, I just love, you know, how I am, Carol. I love that salt cured ham, the old fashioned salt cured ham. Amen.
Yes,
the country ham, not the sugar stuff, but the salt cured ham. It's just so good, and makes some of the best red eye gravy out of that too.
Well, people forget that in times past, salt was a precious commodity, and you know, if you, it wasn't like the 15-cent thing of salt that we get at the store, you know, it was a chunky bag of salt, and that ham, they'd just stick the whole ham down in the barrel of salt, you know, and it did preserve it. The ham would soak up the salt and nothing would live in there. So it preserved that ham. And what the word is saying here is, you're the salt of the earth. That's precious. That's Amen. A precious commodity.
That's right.
You make a difference. You know what I'm saying? You make a difference. You're precious. You are desired. You know what I'm saying? You bring something to the table that nobody else can.
Amen.
That's what Christians are supposed to be. You're the salt of the earth. So don't lose your savor. Don't let the world water you down.
Amen.
That's what it's saying, well, you know?
Well, I kind of think about that as, you know, I cannot believe it ain't butter, or, you know, they got this stuff that's no salt.
I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah. I can't believe that they're trying to push it off for butter. But anyway, you know, then they got this no salt, you know, no salt stuff. And it really is exactly what it says, no salt.
Well, we don't understand now because there's so much sodium in the food that we eat and the things that we drink now, because we don't eat things in their natural state. Our bodies receive so much sodium that salt is now a bad thing as far as our diets. You understand what I'm saying? People,
right.
Your doctors will tell you to avoid salt. So if we went back, though, to the times like this time when they were eating things from the ground, they didn't buy them in cellophane packages at the store. They ate food from the ground. Salt was a necessary mineral that they needed because they sweated every day. They needed that salt. You understand what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so it was a good thing, and they needed that salt.
Well, I mean, you're stepping back in time then when you're talking about it. But, I mean, of course, that other stuff comes from the ground, but you don't know what all has been done to it in the process of the things.
But you understand what
done.
I'm saying.
Yes,
that
yes
they
that's
weren't,
right.
But, it wasn't a processed
but
food.
But salt is actually supposed to be good for us. I mean,
it's very
we have
good for
to
you.
Have salt. And just like she was saying, you know, they just put so much and different things, but they're using that salt for a preservative and
mm-hmm.
all. And in talking about this is what we ought to be. We ought to
yes.
be a preservative. We ought to be that one. And just as we was talking to a young son this morning, how I told him when I first got saved years ago, my parents, at first they kind of was like, well, that's good, you know. And then when they really started finding out that I was living according to the word of God,
when they saw the fruit of your salvation,
and it didn't make them happy. They were not happy at all. And one thing is, it convicts a sinner who's not living right.
Right.
They see this and they, you know, I reckon they fear, you know, because now there's something totally different. You know, some people thought that I, you know, had lost my mind, but praise God, I thank God that I got into my right mind.
Yeah.
Amen. I was like the fella that was in the tombs, Legion, you know, I done got my right mind, got clothed. Amen.
Right, right.
I mean, spiritually and naturally.
Right.
Amen. But, you got to make a stand, and it's just like if you think about people who's our age can think back about, you know, maybe some of their family, some part of their family who would not let down for anything and stood fast. And that's what I want to be. I want to be a rock. I want to be a rock for my family that after I'm long gone, they can say, you know what? He was just what he was from the beginning to the end.
Well, the thing is, those people, even the people that sometimes will give you a hard time for the stand that you take, when they get in a desperate need or you know, that they don't have, you know, that they have, they're in desperate need of prayer, they know where to go. And, you know, sometimes it is a conviction, you know, because when you live for the Lord, and you're really serving the Lord, light doesn't have fellowship with darkness. And even though you try to reach those that you love and you try to have communion with them and you love them and they love you too, your thinking changes. So you're just separated. You can't help it. You don't think the same. You don't walk the same. You don't talk the same. And when you let that light shine, and when you do follow the word of God, it convicts their heart. And sometimes they're like, oh, well, they don't do that anymore because they're too good for that. You know, they're too good for that now. And they kind of want to do it in a negative connotation. And, you know, my family, they planned family things when they knew I would have to choose between that and church. You know, I had to drive by the house where we gathered. It was only like two or three doors down from the church I attended. So I knew that they had planned something and didn't tell me, or I had to drive by knowing that I could either stop and be with my family as a family gathering, or I could go to church. And it was hard. You know, I felt like I had to choose between the Lord or my family.
And we do a lot of times. I mean, I was not invited to, you know, my own sister's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I still love the Lord. I love
right.
him, and I, you know, you can't love anything else
you
any
can.
More than the Lord, or, you know, they're your God, but we got to love with the Lord with all of our heart, our mind,
well,
our body, our soul. We've got to, with everything that we got in us, and they don't understand if we love the Lord more than anything else, that's how we can really love people, and that we
mm-hmm.
can love family, and that we can overcome death as through this, but that we need to be this light. I mean, I've been
yeah.
in the same similar situations as I've not been invited to things and
right.
excluded from things.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've been, you know, made fun of
right.
or whatever, but that's okay because you know what? When it really gets down to it, I get these phone calls that say they want to get a hold of that person who's in touch.
Yeah.
And they want them to pray then. They're serious.
Right.
They want to get out of some, you know, a serious situation.
That's right.
And then they, you know, you get contact again.
That's right.
And
or when.
I want to be that lighthouse.
Yeah.
I want to be the lighthouse. You know, it's kind of funny how it relates so much, you know, talking about a lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love singing that song, The Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how. They don't hardly have many lighthouses anymore or anyway any operational
any
lighthouses,
operation,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying. That's what they used to use. That's what the ship was lost. I mean, that's what they were looking for
mm-hmm.
was that lighthouse. It was to them it was like a searchlight in a way. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Because they couldn't see the rocks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they are didn't know maybe where the shore was, whatever it might
mm-hmm.
have been. Is it would give them direction,
mm-hmm.
you know, to what to do that lighthouse. And, you know, they've got these GPSs and they got this and they got that and
mm-hmm.
all that. But you know what? When the batteries go out and when those things fail, what happens? You know, I mean, God is. Jesus is that lighthouse, and we ought to be a reflection. We ought to be a lighthouse for our family, for our children, for our neighbors, and for all those that are around us.
Yes.
We ought to be that lighthouse that they can say, you know what, they're firm. Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of funny that at times, you know, you might be the talk that somebody, people talks, and they totally forget about you, forget that you live next door, or forget whatever,
right.
you know. It is until that situation, and then they're hunting the lighthouse. Then
yeah.
and they want somebody to get in touch with God. And we need to be this light in this lost and dying world.
Right.
You know, us that are parents or whatever, maybe children, but our parents, that we need to be this lighthouse because our children won't know where to stand if we're wishy-washy, if we're tossed with everything, every wind and doctrine that comes by and every, you know, just anything that comes up and that will go along with it and all that. No, they need a firm foundation. They
yes.
need a true light that won't turn dark, that won't go out, but they need that true light. And if we'll be that true light, we'll stand. I mean, you know, last week we spoke on Halloween. Today's what, Halloween,
today's
I reckon.
Halloween.
And we spoke about Halloween and we, we didn't just say, oh, well, Halloween's bad, this, that, and the other, and you shouldn't take part in it. We explained to everybody all the customs of Halloween and
where
why. Because
from.
You may tell you something, it's not that we are, you know, don't want people to enjoy things or whatever, but we don't want people to go to hell. We don't want people to take part in things that they shouldn't. We want them to be educated through the Lord and you know, through those things that you can dodge. You could say in a way, dodge the bullet. But we want to be a light. And if I just, you know, I, of course I'm not, you know, going to partake in those things, but I want to be a light. I want them to know that I didn't give in any way, not because of grandchildren, not because of children, not because of this or that and the other. I want them to see. And, you know, I think it was not long ago we went to a church we had never went to before and to watch our adopted son there preach. And a lady that's known me for years and years, I hadn't seen her in a few years, and she just come up and hugged me, and she said, you know, you're the same. You've always been. I've always known you, and you hadn't changed.
Right.
And it's, you know, you always, you know, were loving her, smile, whatever. But she said you hadn't changed. And a lot of folks change. And, you know, the Lord's the same today,
He's
yesterday,
same.
And forever. And He changes not. I'm glad I don't serve a wishy-washy God.
Well, if we don't hold the line, if the church doesn't hold the line, if the people of God doesn't hold the line, where is the world going to come to? I mean, where are they? If we become just like the world in an effort to reach the world, when we reach them, what do we have to offer them? We're just like them.
Because you've come down.
And not that I'm saying, right. Ooh, just like them. That's not what I mean. I'm saying it's just like when my family excluded me. That hurt me because I love my family. But my family couldn't give me the peace that the Lord was giving me.
Amen.
He was flooding me with peace that I had never known. And I was so addicted to the peace of God that I could drive right by that house. And they weren't drinking or doing drugs or anything like that. They were just gathering and having a meal, I'm sure. But I needed the peace of God. And that's what we need. That's what we need to ooze. That's the light we need to shine. That we need to be different from the world.
Amen.
If we're not different from the world, then we don't have anything to give them. We don't have anything to draw them out of what is normal for them.
Well, a point I wanted to make this morning, you know, it says, you know, about the salt, but it talks about the light, about
yes.
us being light, that they can glorify our Father which
yes.
is in heaven. And this is a thing that we ought to be. We ought to be that reflection. And of, you know, the Lord from heaven. That's what we ought to be. We
yeah.
ought to be that light, and especially more now as we see more darkness pour in. But what I want to say is, when you're shining your light, don't expect, you know, people to love it with open arms. It's not going to happen all that way.
No.
You know, they're suffering in this, but there is a good, you know, sometimes good thing, just like we was explaining our young son this morning, that sometimes when you shine your light, that people are not going to accept it. They're not going to be happy about it. They're, you know, they might even be mean to you.
Yeah.
But I've seen it over and over, and even it might happen in later years, even when you get older, is that they're thankful that you stood, that
mm-hmm.
you stood for the right thing, and
mm-hmm.
that you didn't let down. You didn't, and you know what? It give them a stepping stone. It give them something to grab hold of. You know, in some of their worst times, they say, well, you know, look at what these people has went through, but they still held on.
They got something real.
They got something real, and they got something. They still got it.
That's right.
You know, and you know, I told my wife, I said, is, you know, we have rules, you know, around my house. I mean, they're not terrible rules or whatever, but
they're not grievous.
They're definitely not grievous, but there's just some things that you know that I want put up with. And
no.
I told her, I said,
it's not,
you know,
allowed at home.
When I get older and stuff like that, and maybe I told her, I said, if I'm not working on a cane, I said, I don't care if I'm in a wheelchair, but I said, I've seen in times past how that children and grandchildren and stuff will come in and the people be so much older and they'll just kind of take over.
Well, they disrespect
and
their grandparents. Yeah,
disrespect the grandparents, disrespect their house. And they'll, you know, they'll have conversation and words and things that they shouldn't do,
mm-hmm.
that they never was allowed to do, but now they're going to do it. Now I told her, I said, you know, I don't care if I'm in a wheelchair. I said, give me a cane. I said, because they're either going to love me or they're going to not like me, because they're going to either think that I'm good or they're going to either think I'm a mean old man, because when they start carrying them ugly words around in my house, I'm going to cane them. You know?
Well.
I say that in joking, but I want everybody to know what I stand for, and that's for Jesus Christ.
Right.
I want them to know that. And I'm not trying to choke anybody with it, but I want them to know, hey, this is who he serves. And, you know, this is who will keep you. And this is who loves you. But like I said, it's not always going to be accepted. But those that, if you shine this light before those, you know, if you think about Jesus, Jesus was that light. And look at all those that refused him. Look at those that tortured him. Look at those that tormented him, did all these things, or mutilated him, that did all these things to him. But when, you know, when the darkness came over land and all that, and they, and, you know, they clutched their hearts, I'm sure, and said, you know, what have we done? I'm sure a lot of them is like, what have we done?
Well, it's like right now, it's pretty popular to be a Christian. You know, you can buy scripture on signs and things everywhere. And it's, you know, it's great to be a Christian. It's all over everybody's car. And like I said, their houses, their wreaths on the door. But there's a lot of, I don't mean this the wrong way, but even in the Bible, a lot of people were there when Jesus was feeding the 5,000, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were there on Palm Sunday. But who was there the night he was being tried?
Right.
You know, I mean, who was there when he was on the cross? Who was at the foot of the cross? There's just not very many people that followed him in the hard times. You know, in the times when he wasn't passing out food. You know, and there are times in your walk with the Lord where it's going to be that way. You're going to feel, you know, kind of rejected of the world. He was rejected of the world. And if we're accepted of the world, then we're not really his, because he was never accepted of the world.
That's right.
That's what the Bible teaches.
The world love its own.
That's right. And so.
And he said, marvel not if the world hates you, for they hate him.
Right. And that's why we need him so bad. We need that relationship with him, because that's what carries us through the times when we feel so alone and we feel like, no matter what I do, you know, it's falling in my face. You know, no matter what I do, it's wrong. Well, the Lord is right there, and he is what's important, and he will help you. Because when we're giving out every day and we're pouring out into people and we're shining that light, if we don't have a line with him for him to refill us and refill us, our light will be like the foolish virgins. We won't have enough oil. We've got to have him refilling the oil in us, well, so that that light can still shine.
I like the ones that really shine out, especially in the Old Testament. I mean, we've got all those that shine in the New, and, mm-hmm. you know, the disciples and things, and we have record of what they went through and some mm-hmm. of the deaths and all that, and the tortures and things that they did, because they rather obey God than man. And,
right.
and you know, those different things. But if you think about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, I mean, they wouldn't bend or bow and they definitely didn't burn. And, but they let their light so shine. They did before we even had that scripture.
That's right.
They let their light shine for the Lord. They said, regardless,
whether he can or not. I mean, whether he does or not, we know he can deliver
us. Amen. And I mean, and their what was it? Their cousin or their, I think it was their cousin, Daniel. I mean, he stood. And he didn't, I don't believe that he missed any sleep that night. I believe the king missed sleep. I believe the king was up. He had the king praying unto his God.
That's right.
He had the king praying.
That's
right. And Daniel just had, you know, lion pillows, I reckon. I mean,
even if the lions had have eaten him, his heart was settled.
Right.
His heart was, exactly. It was done.
I mean,
if I die in this lion's den, I'm going to be with the Lord. He wasn't troubled.
Right. Right, but he was shining a light unto all the rest of the world.
That's
and
right.
And what happened? What happened? I mean, the king.
We're still talking about it. King, how many years later?
Exactly. The king said those, that did this, they cast them into the den of lions, and you heard bones crunching before they hit the bottom of the pit.
Yeah.
I mean, he sewed the mouth of the lion's mouth shut for that. But I just can't think of anything much better than Stephen. Stephen was that light. He came unto those people and he told them about being stiff-necked, this, that, and the other. He wasn't trying to make them mad, but
no,
he
told that in humility.
Yes. And he wanted them to have life.
He
loved them, but he loved Jesus so much more, and he wanted them to have life. And when they were, taking him and they were stoning him, he looked up unto the heavens. Everybody else would have had their head down and been trying to dodge
covering
that.
Their head. Sure.
But he looked up to the heavens, and when he looked up to the heavens, he one of the things he said was almost perfect to what Jesus said on the cross when he said, Father, lay not this sin to this charge.
Mm-hmm.
He was just saying, my death, don't let it count to them.
Right.
Please, Lord, discount my life as nothing. I want these fellows to be saved.
That's right.
Please don't hold this against them. You know, they're just doing this ignorance. Please don't hold my murder against them is what he's saying.
That's
don't
right.
hold my murder against them. And he said, lay not this sin to their charge. And he looked up into the heavens. And what did he see? He seen Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He seen him standing. I tell you, heaven was stirred.
Right.
He didn't let down that last time and say, I'm not going to say this anymore because he didn't want to be killed.
Right.
He said, well, I'm just going to agree with you now. No.
No.
He stood right unto the end when he had no one else to stand with him. He stood right unto the end. And he was victorious. And
he
in
was.
That being him being victorious over there, what kind of light has he shined for the centuries after?
Exactly.
So many centuries after. You look at Job, look what he went through. He was a light. He always lifted up the Lord, regardless. He lost his children. He lost all of his wealth. He lost everything. And he was that light. That's the light that we need to be. We need to be for our family, for the world, for everybody to see us. We need to be that light, not
Amen.
Just at Christmas, not just at, at Thanksgiving
no,
and all that.
No, when we're driving
that,
in traffic, we need to be that light. Yeah,
exactly. And,
or in
and
the line at Walmart, we need to be that light.
That's right. We've run out of time, but I just want to say this. People have such a loving and giving the heart during this. We're coming into Thanksgiving and the season and all that. But why can't we do it all year? Why can't we do it all year and do this? Well, this is, we got 30 seconds. Praise God. Amen. But I just think that we ought to be this light and that you'd be faithful through any time, any season, even when you're going through your worst times. That's when you can be your best light. This is Brother Tommy today. May God bless you.